Chapter 29. Emma. I'm in the middle of collecting the spoils from my latest video game battle when my apartment door opens. I don't look up. Chances are it's Amy. But if it's a madman come to put me out of my misery, I'd rather spend my last seconds of life playing a game than screaming my head off. Wow. It's Amy. I have no words. Good. I hit the save button in case my character doesn't make it through the next quest, then send him plunging through the dark door into the temple. Is this a who's who of which restaurants will deliver to this address? I thought you had no words. Yeah, well, I have a nose and the stench of this place fixed my vocal cords. It's not that bad. I try to take a discreet sniff, but my head is buried in my blanket hoodie, and all I manage to do is tickle my nose until I sneeze. She steps over a pile of takeout bags and settles onto the couch beside me. Can we at least play a two-player game? I'm not far into the temple, so my last save point is good, and I exit the game. I slide out from under my fuzzy blanket and cross the room to put Mario Kart in the console. Silently, I return to the couch and toss a controller to my sister. Her eyes are wide as she takes in my outfit. The giant, fuzzy blanket hoodie falls to my knees and is wide enough she could easily climb in here with me. My leggings were black at one point, but they're faded to whatever color almost black is called. You can't see much of them anyway, because huge fuzzy socks cover my feet and go halfway up my calves. You're like the abominable snowman, Amy whispers in horror. I glance down at my clothing. My socks are two different colors. The abominable snowman is white, not blue, black, pink, and orange. Fine then. What's blue, black, pink, and orange, covered in fur and wallowing in self-pity? It's me, but I refuse to acknowledge that. Instead, I return to the couch, snuggle back under my blanket, and prepare to leave Amy in the dust. Unfortunately, I can only put distance between our characters on the screen. In real life, she continues to be less than 8 inches away. Why are you here? Because your boss called me. Apparently, you haven't been showing up for work. I turned in my vacation requests. And then unplugged your phone? I point across the room to where my phone sits on the counter, the charge cord connecting it to the wall. Not unplugged. Not being answered. Amy's car gets rescued by Lakito for the third time this round, but she doesn't seem to care. She just keeps pressing buttons and running into walls until the game takes pity on her and declares her the 12th place finisher. We play in silence until the screen displays the menu again. Amy snatches the controller from my hand before I can start a new game. What's going on? I want to say I got dumped, but I've had enough miserable introspection to admit that it's possible I technically still have a boyfriend. I frown at Amy. How do you know if you and your boyfriend break up? Her eyebrows rise. Usually my screaming, I never want to see you again, is a pretty good clue. She sighs. At least that's how it went when I broke up with Richie. I lie there, waiting to see if there's more. There's not. Do you need some ice cream? I signed up for the free delivery membership. Of course you did, she laughs. But no, I'm surprisingly good with it. She wraps her arms around herself and goes back to the original question. I don't know that it has to get said in a particular way, but it needs to be obvious. Did you and Carter break up? I sigh and burrow deeper into my hoodie. I think so. Amy kicks at the pile of fast food bags the DoorDash drivers have been so kindly leaving in front of my apartment. The way her foot bobs, I think she might be counting. You know, most girls get wine and ice cream and chocolate. Well, I eat French fries. I guess I'm not a normal girl, which, now that I think about it, could be the whole problem. Did you get milkshakes too? You dip the one into the other, right? No. Milkshake cups smell when you leave them lying around. Plus, they're what Carter got me when I had a bad night. May I have the controller back now? I stick my hand out, palm up. Amy shoves both controllers behind her and down into the crevice between couch cushions. No, not until you've showered and put on clothes. These are clothes. I could put on my Crocs and go to Walmart right now without getting arrested. That is a remarkably low bar to set for an outfit. Well, your lookbook doesn't cover grocery shopping. Might want to think about that next year. Wow, I'm evil when I'm grumpy. Or sad. I'm sumpy. Ew, no, that sounds like a gross disease. I can't be grad either, for obvious reasons. I'll be grud. Apparently, I'm mean when I'm grud. She snorts and leans in toward me. Since you clearly don't actually use it, maybe I won't make the lookbook at all. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe I won't. You're repeating yourself. At least I have a self. By now, we are nose to nose, yelling at each other loud enough to disturb the neighbors if it wasn't the middle of the afternoon. That doesn't make any sense. I thump her in the forehead. Oh, really? Answer the question then. You haven't asked one. She rips the hood off my head, sits back on the couch, and points at me. Who are you? The fight drains out of me. I flop back onto the couch, then keep melting until I slither down to the floor. Amy lies on the couch and leans over the edge, her face looming above mine as her hair drapes around us like a curtain. She repeats the question, but this time with a painful curiosity instead of anger. Who are you, Emma? I feel like I don't know you at all anymore. And now I'm not even certain you know yourself. She's right. I don't. How long has it been since we talked? Like really, really talked. In high school, we sat in each other's beds long after we were supposed to be asleep, talking about teachers and boys and friends. She would lay my clothes out for me each morning and I would make our breakfast. Now we're all but strangers. What happened to us, Ames? Her little shrug looks strange from this angle. Life, I suppose. I think you moved on, but I'm not sure I ever did. You're the reason the boutique has become one of the most exclusive fashion destinations in 4 states. Yeah, the boutique Mom and Aunt Jade own. I frown. They haven't made you part owner yet? No, she groans and rolls off the couch, landing on top of me and crushing my will to breathe, if not my will to ever get up again. She keeps rolling until we're lying side by side, staring up at my ceiling. I own the line and the customizations, though, and my styling business. I'm not sure they realize how it's set up, but technically, I'm renting space from the boutique. That doesn't sound like standing still. It's the path I was on 10 years ago, though. Wait a minute. I push myself into a sitting position so I can see her face. You think there's something wrong with you because you kept going down the path you chose as a teenager? Well, yeah, I mean, look at you. She sits up as well, shoving aside the other balled-up orange sock so she can sit flat. You couldn't be further from that girl. I spread my arms wide to indicate my giant plush hoodie. I'm not sure that's a good thing. True. We both fall silent. I don't know what she's thinking about, but I'm wondering what teenage me would think of my life now. I don't think she'd be happy about it. I think she'd say I'm just as stuck as I've always been, but I've managed to build a life that lets me pretend otherwise. I don't want to live like that anymore. So I break the ugliest, most painful lock I've created for myself, and I start talking. I tell my sister everything. When I went to college, it seemed like I stumbled into a whole new world. I went to class with people wearing last night's pajama pants. People wore hoodies and jeans to sports games. My roommate loaned me a pair of yoga pants when we went out one day to play frisbee on the green. That was a day I remember clearly, because it was the first week of college. We were tossing the frisbee around with a group from our freshman orientation class, and at the edge of the green, I saw a group of girls walking toward a sorority house. They were in dresses and heeled sandals. Their hair was curled, and even as far away as I was, I could see the lipstick and nail polish and false eyelashes. It felt like I was supposed to be over there, like that was where Mom and Aunt Jade and Amy would want me to be. But I didn't want to be there. I wanted to be wearing yoga pants and tossing a frisbee. I started going to church with my roommate and attending an on-campus Bible study. That really changed things for me. Knowing Jesus changed what I wanted in life. When I graduated, I told myself it was a fresh start. I was going to build the life I wanted. But we didn't let you. Amy's voice is soft, mournful. I didn't let me. The first time Mother saw me in a college hoodie, she nearly fainted. That might have had something to do with the fact that it was 85 degrees outside. Amy's voice is still sad, but she at least has the beginnings of a grin now. Perhaps. Either way, it scared me. I told myself it didn't matter what I wore. I could still be me. But that didn't work either. I found myself talking differently at family gatherings than I did with my friends. It wasn't just you, though. I kept my hobbies from the people at work because the games I liked to play felt childish. I didn't tell my friends at church about attending galas and the theater. I didn't fully realize how bad it had gotten until I saw the painting in Carter's studio. He can say all he wants that he didn't see me in that picture, but I know the truth. He saw the real me, and he painted her. What about Carter? Amy pulls at the toe of my red sock, and I let her slide it from my foot. He knew. About the deceit? I shake my head. About me. I don't know why, but I didn't hide it from him. She pulls at the other sock. He's a lucky guy. Yeah, I gave him fresh inspiration, but I don't think it's because he liked me. I think it's because he found me odd. Who needs him then? She stands to her feet and extends her arms down to me. I take her hands because she's my sister, and while there's still some mending to do, the rift between us has been bridged more easily than I would have imagined. What am I doing? She grabs my shoulder and pushes me toward my room. Getting a shower. But don't wash your hair. I'm calling in a favor at my salon and taking you down there this afternoon. I smirk at her. Isn't getting a post-breakup haircut one of those cardinal no-nos? You just spent 45 minutes telling me you aren't like other girls, so you can't go claiming the rules apply to you now. She gives me another shove. And just for that, I'm telling them to give you bangs while they're at it. When I get out of the shower, I see that Amy has gone through my clothes and pulled out an outfit for me. It's lying on the bed like when we were in high school. I put on the faded, ripped jeggings and the slouchy t-shirt. She didn't give me shoes, so I slide my feet into my Crocs. When I come out, I find Amy spent my shower time straightening the apartment. A tied-up trash bag sits by the door, and the array of blankets I spent the last few days wallowing in have been folded and laid over the back of the couch. Let's go. She wraps an arm around my shoulders, gives me three squeezes, two short, one long, and leads me out the door, grabbing the trash as she goes. I know where her salon is, and that isn't the first place she drives. Nordstrom? We are going shopping. Before I can collapse in a fit of groaning, she holds up her hands, palms facing me. Hear me out. Fine. I grumble. This isn't a boutique. It's a department store. I'm aware. I get it. You don't like fancy clothes and belts and scarves and basically everything we sell at the boutique. A wince scrunches up my face, but Amy seems unbothered by my dislike of her chosen fashions. However, she continues, holding up one finger as if she is about to make a life-changing declaration, I refuse to believe that we cannot find something as comfortable as your beloved hoodies that doesn't make my eyeballs hurt. She snatches the keys from the ignition and pushes open her door. I am a woman on a fashion mission, and you, my dear twin sister, owe me this one. She takes a deep breath. And I owe it to you as well. I climb out of the car. What do you mean by that? She looks at the sky as she jiggles her keys in her hand. Finally, she looks at me. Is broke college student on the 5-year plan the impression you want to give the world? Or is it what you default to because you think it's that or dressing like me? I've never thought about it. But there's a chance she's right. Still, I'm not convinced there is a good middle ground. You might have a point. Besides, if following her around as she combs through the racks and then trying on clothes will make Amy and me close again, I'll gladly go along. She stalks toward the store like a woman who is indeed on a mission. Now, let's figure out how to show the real Emma Trinket to the world. I can't help but grin a little as I follow her. Amy gets recognized by the workers in the women's clothing section, and soon a personal shopper is trailing after us, taking everything Amy selects to a private dressing room. For an hour, I'm asked if I like how this shirt feels and how tight I want to wear my pants. Do waistbands cause a problem, or is it the way trousers fit? Half of her questions are things I've never thought to consider, and I have to tell her I honestly don't know. That gets the item sent to the dressing room. Finally, she calls a halt, and we're taken to wherever the clothes have been drifting off to. I stumble to a halt in the giant dressing room. A sheet has been tacked over the mirror. What is that? My special request. If you cared about how the outfit looked, you wouldn't be in those shoes. So all you get to be concerned about today is how it feels. I get to worry about how it looks. Okay. I start trying on clothes. As we narrow it down, Amy makes me sit, stand, stretch, and even lie on the floor to decide what's most comfortable. Finally, she shoves a pair of backless leather flats at me. Wear these. You don't want me to wear the rest of the clothes out? No. She pats the bag containing her final choices. These can wait until after your hair's done. But these? She shudders as she drops the Crocs into another bag. Just no. We get to the salon and are met by a guy with a Greek accent. I've never had him do my hair before, even though Amy's dragged me here before events on more than one occasion. Amy waves at me as if I'm a gift. Here she is, Niccolo. The man mumbles to himself in Greek. Amy pulls out her phone and shows him a picture. I was thinking something like this. Do you agree?
No.
The man shakes a finger at the picture.
You say she is simple, yes?
He looks to me for confirmation. As if I would know how to answer that.
Wash, dry, go, no?
I give him a nod. Yes, I'm not going to do much more than brush it. He returns my nod and waves away Amy's phone.
No sense doing something like that if she won't do anything with it.
Now I really want to see Amy's picture. There's no time, though, because I'm plopped in a chair and strands of my hair are folded into strips of aluminum foil. I've seen them doing this at the place I get my hair trimmed, but I've never experienced it. The gunk they put on between pieces of foil is cold. Then I sit under the heat while Amy gets her hair washed and blow-dried. It's a little boring, but totally worth it when my head is dunked into a sink and given the most blissful head massage known to mankind. I then sit as my chair is turned this way and that, and I'm treated to a monologue about the wonderful new traffic circle going in at the end of the street, but the horrors of the construction traffic in the meantime. A blow-dry and a brush later, and Amy is whisking me away to the back room with the Nordstrom bag hooked on her arm. Both me and the bag are pushed into a closet. Get changed. I want you to see all of it at once. The outfit is simple. A pair of tailored jeans made with some sort of stretchy fabric that practically makes them feel like yoga pants. A light blue and white cotton shirt and a cardigan sweater made of neutral colored stripes that falls to my knees and has a hood. As I slide my feet into the shoes again, my heart starts to race. This is it. When I step out, Amy and Niccolo are standing next to a large mirror, both grinning like proud parents. I cross the room, careful to keep my gaze away from the myriad of other smaller mirrors I pass on the way. I step in front of the big mirror and see nothing. My eyes are closed, and I can't seem to change that. Amy squeals.
Oh my gosh! Don't you love it? Emma! Oh, for goodness sake, Emma, open your eyes!
Her command has my eyes flying open, and I almost don't believe it's me. My hair is still straight, but somehow doesn't seem as flat. Streaks of dark blonde flitter through the brown, and wispy bangs cover my forehead. The clothing is neat and fashionable, but I have no desire to claw it off and run for my hoodie. I look cute, grown up, put together. I look like me, like all of my parts have come together and decided to show themselves at one time. Just gazing in the mirror is healing something in me I didn't even know was broken. But it isn't just the vision in front of me. It's how everything in the mirror represents part of the journey it took to get here. It's not an abandonment of where I started, it's a completion. Is this what Carter sees when he looks at art? Does he see how the snapshot of the moment captured in paint represents so much more than just what we see? Amy lifts her phone and snaps a picture of our combined reflection, and it jars me because I know that picture will never be the same as being in this moment. And just like that, I know exactly where my museum design went wrong.